Friends, hear these words of ancient wisdom, and may they bring comfort to you. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to love and a time for peace. Please be seated. This place and this time has been set apart to share stories and memories, to hear music and poetry, to talk and to grieve and to listen and to comfort one another as we honor Andrew Kitchener Calder and celebrate the gift of his life. We're here to remember Andrew. To remember Andrew as a love-filled husband and best friend to Susie, as a smiling and supportive dad to Campbell and Quinn and Fiona, as a son to Ken and Marg, a son-in-law to Phil, a brother to Graham, a brother-in-law to Sally and Simon, and Sam and Brian. We're here to remember Andrew, the amazing uncle, to Parker, Jack, Chloe, and Henry, to George, Charlie, and William, to Renee and Reuben. We'll remember Andrew as a loyal and generous friend and a supportive colleague and teammate. We have much to give thanks and gratitude for in Andrew's life, but we also want to say today that all of us wanted Andrew to be here much, much longer. We know that Andrew suffered, and I know the past 2 years have not been easy for his family and for you, his friends. What support and strength and encouragement you all bring to each other by being here and by mourning Andrew's loss together. May this time fill each of you with peace and with sustenance. It is our privilege at Rosedale United Church to be your companions today, and on behalf of the staff and board, I welcome you. I want you to make yourself at home in this space in our time together. If you need to move, please do. If you need to get water, please do. Move in and out of the sanctuary freely because it is a hot space. Our gathering follows the traditions of the Christian Church. Whatever your tradition, your practices, your beliefs, bring your hope, bring your integrity, bring your love, your openness, and your memories into this gathering. That's what makes it all holy. In life, and in death, and in life beyond death, we believe that God is with us, and that God's love unites us, that God's purpose steadies us, and that God's Spirit comforts us. And so, in the quiet and the comfort of this sanctuary, we open our hearts to pray. God, creator and support of all life, source of love and joy, we are gathered to celebrate living, and especially the life of Andrew Calder, his generosity in time and spirit and priority, his love and his friendship, his kindness, all his activity, his passion expressed in sports and travel and his family life and his intelligence. Holy One, we know that death is a part of life. But Andrew's death is hard to accept and it's hard to process. We want Andrew to be physically here with Susie and to watch Campbell and Quinn and Fiona as they grow. Help us, when we're sad and confused, to trust in your goodness and great love for each one of us. We can't help but feel the pain of having to part with Andrew, but we rejoice that so many here were privileged to experience life with him. Heal those hearts made heavy by Andrew's loss. And may we come to understand Andrew's life as bound up and enfolded in your own everlasting and ever-present Creator. Together we stand now and sing our hymn, Joyful, Joyful.
Dad, we'll always remember that special smile, that caring heart, that warm embrace you always gave us. Being there for Mom and us through good and bad times, no matter what. We'll always remember you, Dad, because there'll never be another one to place you in our hearts and the love we will always have for you.
I'm Ken Calder, Andrew's dad, and I'm here to speak on behalf of Andrew's mum, Marg, and myself. First of all, we'd like to thank you all for coming to celebrate Andrew's life. It means a lot to us, and would have meant a lot to him also, that so many are here from both near and far. Marg knew Andrew for a few minutes longer than myself. When Andrew was born in 1975, fathers-to-be were not allowed in the delivery room at the Queensway Hospital. So I first learned of his arrival when the new father came back to the waiting area and told me he'd heard a baby cry in the room adjacent to his wife's. Not long after, I was able to meet Andrew for the first time and was absolutely thrilled when he held onto my finger. At age 7, Andrew played indoor soccer. And when his team won the championship the following year, it started his collection of Little League medals and trophies. After this, he played hockey in the winter, soccer and tennis in the summer, but when he reached middle school, he played volleyball also. Andrew's growing love for volleyball became apparent when his mum and I started noticing finger marks on the ceiling from him practicing his jumps. We went on a family trip to the UK in 1992, together with our newly acquired video camera, and Andrew became our chief videographer. In the last few weeks, we viewed the videos again, and Andrew loved the memories that they brought back, including in London, feeding pigeons in Trafalgar Square, and seeing a soccer game at Wembley Stadium. In Edinburgh, it was climbing Arthur's Seat and watching the military tattoo on the Esplanade of Edinburgh Castle. He also fondly remembered being able to take advantage of the more lenient UK licensing laws. And with him being a 17-year-old, he and I had a beer or two. On the way home to Canada, he was delighted to find he could also have a beer on the flight, since the same rules applied. Andrew continued to use the video camera here at home to interview his baba, his grandmother, where she told stories from her younger days of when she lived in Poland. Andrew always kept himself busy, and while at high school, worked at Sky Dome selling snacks and pop to event spectators. Later, he graduated to selling beer, and really liked that, as the tips he received were so much better. He was fortunate to be working on the night the Blue Jays won the World Series in 1993, and as he told us, Joe Carter hit the winning run in his direction. When Andrew joined the Queen's volleyball team, there was an initiation process. Now, part of Andrew's initiation was to have some of his hair shaved, giving him a monk-style haircut. He was expected to go around campus for a week or two like this, and when the time had expired and he was home for the weekend, he asked his brother Graham to shave his head completely. Graham used an electric razor and had completed half of the job, literally half of the job, Andrew, when the razor broke. Andrew wore a cap when they went out to buy a new razor, but took it off in the store to show why the new razor was needed. The sales staff were quite amused. Now, the Queen's volleyball team played in Toronto and elsewhere in southern Ontario fairly often, and the 1-2 bag exchange became a regular feature of the visits. Andrew giving us one bag of dirty laundry in exchange for two bags, one with clean laundry and the other with Marg's baking and cooking. In 2001, when Andrew was working at Mercer's, he was looking for a date to attend a family friend's wedding, and Marg asked if there was perhaps someone in the office he might invite. It turned out there was, and so we were introduced to Susie McDonald. One of our friends who had spoken with Susie earlier in the evening told Marg and myself, Andrew should get moving on this one. She's a keeper. As most of you will know, she very soon became the most important person in Andrew's life. Marg and I were privileged to watch Andrew grow from a small baby through his childhood, teenage, and university years to become an intelligent, responsible, hardworking, and caring adult. He managed to balance success at work with a busy family life while still enjoying volleyball and hockey and spending time with friends. The regard in which his friends and former teammates and housemates hold him is perhaps best illustrated by the number of visitors he had during his illness. Three of them travelled from England to see him, while many others came from all corners of North America. While reminiscing with his brother Graham recently, they remembered buying double popsicles at convenience stores, but hadn't seen them for a long time. At this stage, Andrew was only having liquids, and particularly hankered after a banana-flavoured popsicle. We all talked about it, and the next time Susie went shopping, she brought back double ice lollipops in banana flavour, and Andrew really savoured his. Andrew was always passionate about what he was doing. He set himself goals and worked very hard to achieve them. He was an outgoing, happy and positive person who enjoyed helping others and would tackle projects at home or at the cottage with a can-do approach. Susie has a similar style, and together they made a perfect team while they built a joyful, busy household. Even on their hardest days, it seemed they could always make little jokes or find humour. Andrew adored his Susie, Campbell, Quinn and Fiona, just as they dearly loved him. Seeing his family growing up and watching and encouraging them in their various activities kept him motivated while he was facing the challenges and disappointments of the last 2 years. Campbell, Quinn and Fiona, your daddy loved you so very much, was so very proud of you, and loved to tell us all about you and your accomplishments. You all brought him so much joy. He loved being with you and watching you grow into happy, independent, responsible and caring children. Baba and Papa love you and will always be there for you. Susie, You are awesome. You are always Andrew's strong support, but during his illness, you kept his spirits up and became his rock. Andrew told us many times that he truly appreciated all that his Susie did for him. We thank you for the wonderful love and great care you gave Andrew. No one could have done more or been more supportive. We love you. Andrew, we love you more than words can say, and we'll keep you in our hearts forever. Rest in peace.
Hello, everyone. My name is Mike Spence. For those of you who were at my wedding many gray hairs ago, I was the one in the tux beside the best man, Andrew Calder. I first met Andrew back in high school, and you know, after a couple of years of playing volleyball with him and sharing a friendship there, I went off to university, and thankfully it was only 2 short years later that we reunited at Queen's University in 1994, Andrew's first year. And it didn't take me very long to realize that Andrew never complained about the fate, his own fate, as I was, unfortunately, the one responsible for cutting Andrew's hair at the initiation. I thought it was clever to do a friar tuck hairstyle for him, and I felt a bit guilty afterwards seeing what I did, and I said, you know, I'm sorry, and he said, you know, I don't care, it's great, thank you very much. Thank me, even, and that was Andrew. And during his tenure on the volleyball team, he was always one that always out-hustled, out-worked everyone else, and he set a great example. And on and off the court, he has such a positive attitude, which is something I try to live up to. And it was for this reason, and many others, because he's an amazing volleyball player, that he was selected as the team captain. And it was interesting, over the years, he's had many nicknames. Some are not very original, like AC or Calder. Many of the people in the crowd here may know him as 1-2, which is in honor of the number he wore at Queens. But there's a nickname that I think is my favorite that came much later, and it was during a men's club team that we were sitting around one day and discussing Andrew and saying what a great player he was, great person he was, and he just brought everyone together, and we always stuck together as a team, and someone thought, he's like glue, and someone said, yeah, that's who he is. He's glue. So from that point forward, his nickname was glue. And it stuck. No pun intended, but it stuck. And for him, you know, whenever I entered into a gym or a room, I always looked for a crowd of people around someone, and that someone was Andrew, because he always brought everyone together. We shared many laughs over the years, and it led to us becoming the dynamic duo of Calder Spence Beach Volleyball Team. I couldn't have asked for a better partner, aside from being an amazing beach volleyball player to pick me up whenever I was not playing well. He was the first to always say, you know what, don't worry about it, let it go, and find a way to turn a negative into a positive. And one particular summer, where it really stuck out to me, actually on the way here, we had two volleyball tournaments back-to-back on a Saturday, Sunday in the summer. I wish he was here because he had all the details. He was so good with this. But we played a tournament in Windsor, Ontario, and we lost in the finals. We were so close to winning. On the way back, I was so upset. He was upset. And when he arrived back in Toronto, he said, you know what? It's okay. You know, this will help us on Sunday when we play provincials. And I thought, I'm a positive person, but I didn't think that was happening. I was already tired. He was tired. And it's ironic that the Sunday went very well. We won provincials that year. The only year we won, actually, ironically. So a perfect example of how we would turn a negative into a positive. Eventually we grew up, Andrew a bit sooner than me. He married the love of his life, Susie. And soon thereafter, I married my beautiful wife, Amanda. And Andrew agreed to be my best man. And he was someone, as you'll probably know, that paid attention to small details and he listened. Even when he thought it went over his head or someone, he was always paying attention. And why this is important is, I want to say a month, maybe months before the wedding, I mentioned the bridesmaids were wearing green dresses. As most of my friends, it would just be in one ear out the next year. In the limo, a bundle of nerves, on our way to the Palais Royal, and seemingly out of nowhere, he brings out two pairs of green socks. And he said, which pair of green socks more closely matches the green from the bridesmaids' dresses? And all I could think of was, well, first thing I thought is, who owns a pair of green socks, let alone two? But I did find the right pair of green socks that actually did nicely match the green dresses. That was Andrew. Moving along to when we had some time to get away with our wives and families, we enjoyed spending trips together whenever possible. And one in particular that I'll never forget that actually shows a good example of Andrew's sense of humor, which he always had a good sense of humor, but sometimes it was the timing or lack of timing that was really important. Susie and Amanda were both pregnant, and Campbell was very young at the time, and so only Andrew and I were able to go scuba diving in Turks and Caicos. And we arrive at the dock, and we see this guy, hat backwards, sunglasses on, a cell phone, and we're looking at him saying, we know this guy from somewhere, we just can't place it. A few minutes go by, we both look at each other and realize it's Nick Lachey of boy band fame 98 Degrees. Now, for those of you who don't know who that is, don't worry, he's a B-minus, if at best, celebrity. But it's relevant in a few minutes because we spent the whole dive not letting on that we knew who he was, just two goofy Canadians going for a dive. And it was around lunchtime where we're having a sandwich, and Nick, Mr. Lachey, is about 2 inches from me, Andrew's to my right, and it was hot that day. It was really hot. He looks at me, and he whispers into my ear and says, oh, it's so hot. It must be like 98 degrees out here. And I almost choked on my sandwich. Thankfully, Nick didn't think anything of it. But again, that was Andrew. As the years have passed, it's been so much fun sharing experiences as fathers. And being honored as a godfather to Campbell was one of the greatest gifts I've ever received. And he was always there to listen and offer advice on how he'd manage different situations growing up with his children. And I will thoroughly miss that because he always had, even if he didn't have an idea what to say, he just said the right things and made me feel comfortable. He was a great role model for Campbell, Quinn, and Fiona and how one should live their life. They are very lucky to have had an amazing, loving, and devoted father. To Susie, I want to thank you so much for being a loving, devoted wife to Andrew throughout his marriage, throughout your marriage, and during these fights this past couple of years. Andrew was very, very lucky. To Mark, Ken, Graham, I know how important family was to Andrew, and he loved you dearly. It always brought a smile to my face whenever he spoke of you. I spent time with you. And I thank you always for treating me as part of your family. And to Andrew, thank you so much for an amazing friend over the last 29 years. I miss you very much. Rest in peace.
For those of you who don't know, I'm Andrew's not-so-little brother, Graham. Thank you all so much for coming to celebrate this life. Growing up, my brother and I had it made. We were very lucky to have two incredibly loving and supportive parents who gave us every opportunity we could dream of and more. As kids, Andrew and I always did everything together. We loved being around our family, and especially all of the fun driving vacations we went on. And our trip to Scotland. But most of our childhood time was filled with sports. We'd spend countless hours playing hockey in the driveway, playing catch and volleyball in the backyard, and even developed our own sport called hallball. One of my most vivid childhood memories took place at a sporting event when our dad took my brother and I to the Canadian Open at Glen Abbey Golf Club. Andrew must have been... Andrew must have been 8 or 9 at the time. To make a short story even shorter, my brother had a mental lapse and thought that he had washed his hands in the portable toilet. I'll always remember the horrified look on my dad's face, the slow realization on Andrew's, and the feeling of sheer joy that I had when it was discovered that it was not a bar of soap he had used, but a urinal cake. It may sound strange, but to this day, I can't walk by a portable toilet without thinking of my brother. The best part about growing up as Andrew's younger brother other than having that story in my back pocket was the fact that he always included me in everything, even when he was playing street hockey with his friends. He would invite me along. This continued as we got older, and a few special moments for me. When he invited me to play in a beach volleyball tournament with him and to go to the first two rounds of a March Madness basketball tournament with a few of his friends. Early on, Andrew had an outgoing personality and a confidence that I always admired. When it was time for me to look for my first job, I was still too shy and nervous to even dial the phone, let alone speak to someone on the other end. So Andrew called up a local golf course, pretended to be me, and asked if they were hiring. They said that they were and asked when I'd be available for an interview. Andrew asked the person if I could come in 10 minutes. I was terrified, but when I got there, they told me that they liked my confidence on the phone and hired me on the spot. Andrew's personality... Andrew's personality developed even more when he attended Queen's. He enjoyed the challenge of being a student athlete and became much more determined and focused. He was also able to find a great balance between working hard and playing hard, and made so many close friends as a result of the latter. But in some ways, he was also still the same old Andrew, who, when I went to pick him up one year at the end of school, had not packed a thing, and had left me a note on his front door to meet he and his housemates at the bar. As our lives went in different directions, we always tried to stay close with calls, texts, and emails, by attending concerts and sporting events together, and by supporting each other however and whenever we could. The last 9 years have really been the best for both of us, being dads and uncles at the same time, and watching all of our babies grow and develop into such amazing kids has been a wonderful experience, especially because we were able to go through it together. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. once said that the ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at a time of challenge. Broadcaster Stuart Scott said that you beat cancer by how you live, why you live, and the manner in which you live. Both quotes help sum up the last 2 years of Andrew's life so well. The courage he showed, how disciplined he lived, his perseverance, and resiliency. He was so strong. He stood tall and faced all challenges head on. Continually adjusting and adapting so that he, but most importantly, his family, could live as normal a life as possible. And through it all, I don't think I ever heard him complain. Except when he told me that he wasn't sleeping well because he had so many things left on his to-do list. While there are many challenges over the last 2 years, there were still so many positives, too. We grew closer as brothers and as a family. We got to relive all of our favorite memories. And most importantly, we also got to share with him how much he meant to us, and vice versa. Another thing that we're grateful for is all of you. Meals, drives, visits, care packages, cards, texts, letters, phone calls, thoughts, and prayers. Your support gave Andrew and all of us so much strength, and will continue to do so for at least one more page, I hope. The biggest thing that I'm grateful for is Susie. Meeting Susie is the best thing that ever happened to Andrew. She's been a terrific mother to three beautiful children, and the love and care that she's given Andrew especially recently, there are no words that will do justice in expressing my gratitude for who she is, what she has done, and what she continues to do. He is my best friend and my role model, and Andrew will always be my brother and my hero. I'm going to miss him so much, but I'm comforted by the fact that his spirit will live on in all of us. Thank you all once again for coming today.
Hello, everyone. It's good to see you all. When Andrew and I talked about today, and that's a surreal discussion to have with your friend, I told him I'd be a wreck, and I still got his thumbs up to speak. So if you're wondering who this guy at the front is crying, it's Paul Rand, and I've been vetted by the boss. Over the last 25 years, I've come to learn with clarity what a best friend is. He's the guy you share countless coffees and lunches and beers with, and countless laughs and the occasional tears. The one you spend months with backpacking across Europe. The one who invites you to stand at the front of the church when he marries the love of his life. And he's the one who gives you the honor of being a godparent to a child. But I'm not going to talk about what it is to have a best friend. Instead, I want to describe for you why Andrew, as a friend and as a person, was the absolute best. So Andrew's volleyball teammates can attest to his athletic excellence and his leadership, and his professional colleagues will know all about his focus and dedication and his talent in the business world. And his accomplishments in these pursuits alone would easily be enough to support the title of being the best. But I want to talk about three other areas that define the awesomeness of Andrew Calder. Best listener. Anyone who's had a conversation with Andrew, whether it's on a dock at the cottage, in his kitchen, over a beer, in the office, can attest to the simple fact that he was the best listener. He really cared about what people had to say, and he was curious to understand them and help them with his problems, their problems. For me, it's been a long-standing practice to consult with Andrew when making a tough decision. He'd always listen, ask three or four very astute questions, and then provide me with assurance that the path I was on was probably the right one. We'd then laugh about something unrelated, and he'd clap together his paddle-sized hands. And for me, the whole ritual would feel like confirmation from King Solomon that my decision was sound. I hope that many of you have had the good fortune of having Andrew give a careful listen when you needed it. I hope you benefited from the confident, intelligent, and genuine reassurance that he could provide. And I hope we'll all try and do that for one another. His ability to see the best in everything. Now, I'm a pretty positive guy, but even I couldn't keep up with Andrew sometimes. If you'd feel neutral about something, for him it would be at least a grin. If you'd be smiling, for him he'd be laughing and clapping. If it was good for Andrew, it would be excellent. And this point of view was captured in the big and small things in life. A classic example to me is grabbing a burger at a pub with Andrew about 15 years ago. And the burger he's eating wasn't just okay. For him, it was the best. What I could tell and recall, the hamburger was fine, but for Andrew, it was like a kid discovering hamburgers. The experience was so good for him, it lifted things for the rest of us. And that was always the way. Now, I never asked Andrew whether he viewed things as being glass half full or glass half empty. The idea would have been absurd. His perspective, for as long as I've known him, even in the difficult days, was that the cup was always overflowing. Now, having said that, Ken, your son was always true to his Scottish roots. And if he'd paid money for something and it wasn't up to par, or if he'd felt he was being taken advantage of, people were going to hear about it, usually loudly, and it sometimes got awkward. And I realize now how much I'm going to miss that. So the last thing, best listener, cup always full, but while these are most these are important aspects of making Andrew the best, if you really want incontrovertible evidence of his greatness, you need look no further than what he accomplished building his family. Susie, in you, Andrew found the most remarkable wife and partner. He knew from the beginning that he'd married energy and woman form, but he couldn't have ever thought you'd be tested as you have. Thank you for everything. Together, you guys have brought the world three remarkable kids. I can say that the pride and quiet confidence that he rightly held for each of you could fill an ocean. Graham, you know how much he loves you. And that's a gift worth more than any fortune. And finally, Marg and Ken, know this, you done good. Thank you.